We welcome to the Gospel Spotlight, Larry Davis. Larry, how are you?
I am blessed and trying to be a blessing. How are you?
You have a lot of knowledge to give. What made you want to just sit down, write a book?
You know, and I think that's a very good question. And I'll tell you why, because it's all the experiences that I've had and all the things I've seen and witnessed firsthand. And I was revisiting a book by Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the African American Negro. And I started to think, you know, there's a quote by Frederick Douglass that says, old men speak of what they've done, young men speak of what they're doing, and fools speak of what they want to do. Well, I want to do something about it, but I didn't want to be a fool, so I decided to write this book.
Now, tell the folks the name of your book.
The name of the book is The Reeducation of the African American Child in Today's School System.
Why is that so important?
I think there's a misconception. If you talk to a bunch of people and ask them what's wrong, everybody will point the finger at someone else. The reality is, it's everyone's responsibility, from the parent, the community, the school district, the schools, the teachers, the services that we offer and provide, and the students themselves. So I want to stop adding to the problem by saying, hey, this is what's wrong. We all know what's wrong. I want to go with strategies, solutions, resources, and reality, so how we could fix it. I want to be the what's next.
How can we fix this when you have some school systems around this country that have named their schools after Confederate generals, president of the Confederacy, and folks are fighting to keep a name like that alive? How can we fix things?
You know, I think... It's easier to change a person's behavior, and then we'll focus on the attitude. So if it's a building and it's named after a white Confederate soldier or a white Confederate general, if it's educating African-American children, if we can ensure that the education that takes place inside that building is going to support, help, engage, and grow that child, we can focus on changing that name later. But first, let's focus on that child. Let's not forget that child is in that building. You know, I think we all know that it's not so much the noun that's important, but the verb, what's happening, is more important than the noun.
How has testing in the school system changed the student and the teachers? Because it seems like today, teachers are teaching for the test and not the student.
You know, I'm going to tell you, I totally agree with you. I think because we have this high-stakes testing era, that there's so much stress on teachers and so much stress on students that we're forgetting and we're neglecting those soft skills that children need to be successful in the world, how to interview, how to balance a checkbook, how to speak to someone in an interview. You know, you and I know, and we grown up knowing that you have a social diction and you have a professional diction. There's one way to talk to your friends in social climate, and there's another way to talk professionally when you're at work. But our children are missing those skills because the teachers and the states and the schools are putting so much stress on these tests that do nothing for them once they leave high school. It doesn't help them in college. Some of the writing components on those state tests, they'll never use again. They won't advance them at all in school, in college, or in post-secondary education at all.
Our guest is Larry Davis. Larry, you mentioned kids are growing up without knowing how to balance a checkbook, without having the right social skills to know when to use certain language, when to interact with certain people. Why has the school system fallen short? Because they don't teach a kid about having your own business. I'm going to teach you how to get a job, not teach you how to own your own business. Have we lost something there?
You know, I think you're right, and I think you've hit the nail on the head when you say they're teaching, we go to school to learn how to get a job and not how to be owner of industry, but to be the laborer within the industry. And sometimes we get our heads get clouded with how much money we make, and we forget that, yeah, you may be paying me $100,000 or $200,000 a year, but I'm working your dream. I'm not working my dream. I think we have to get back to tapping into that unreal life potential of that child. We need to allow children to come to school. When you and I were younger, our parents told us every day that we could be whatever we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, times have proven that we can be what we want to be. But unfortunately, when you look at the African-American child, so much of what they want to be is the athlete. And I say to my son all the time, you know, sure that LeBron makes a $200 million in 5 years, but think about it. That owner is able to pay him that. So that means he's worth 10 times more than that to the organization. So I'd much rather be the person who owns the team, and I'm trying to get him to be an owner of industry, a person who owns their dream. And if we can get back to teaching children to own and realize their dreams, that's where we have to get with education. And you're right, but so much of education is sponsored by, co-authored by, co-partnered with industrial leaders that we're focusing on increasing the workforce, not increasing the industry leaders.
How can you re-educate that African youth who says, you mentioned LeBron, who says, I'm going to be a pro athlete. I'm going to be a rapper. I'm going to be a singer. And you and I know that the majority of people who try to do that fail. How do you re-educate a child and let him know that this may not be a realistic goal?
You know, I think we have to start with saying, if this is your plan, if this is your goal, then what's your plan to get there? And then once we can get that child to understand that they have to orchestrate a plan, then they can achieve anything. Because if they fall short of their goals, but they have an actual plan that they've written out, that they've researched in detail and orchestrated, they may realize that they don't want to be a rapper, but they want to own the studio. They may realize that they don't want to be an athlete, but they want to be the agent behind the athlete because they see the planning that goes into it. Our children, unfortunately, they just see the image on television. They don't see the planning that went into that person. They don't see the history that went into that person. And a lot of times our children are in situations where they're not as hungry to move out of a bad neighborhood. You know, some of our children are blessed to live in nice neighborhoods. So that hunger to move out of a neighborhood that's impoverished, low income, high crime, doesn't exist. And they don't understand that those are some of the things that fuel those athletes they see every day. So I think if we can just teach them to plan, to understand, yeah, you want to be an athlete, you want to be a rapper, you want to be a movie star, that's great. That's your goal. But what is your plan to get there? And then help them focus on orchestrating and detailing a plan.
How important are mentors and good teachers?
You know, there's not a successful person in this world that wasn't impacted by a good teacher. But here's the flip side of that. There's not a successful person in this world that wasn't impacted by a poor teacher. And I'll give you an example. Me, myself, when I was a junior in high school, and I was finishing up in that senior year, we went back to met with our guidance counselor. I was in the top 15 percentile of my class, and I only needed 3 credits to graduate, but I wanted to play basketball, so I had to take other courses to be eligible to play. That counselor at that time told me with my test scores, with my grades, that I would be better in the lawn industry, janitorial industry, custodial industry. And I said, you realize I'm in the top 15% of our class here, and it was a predominantly white school. And she said, well, grades don't really matter in the world. And I thought,
wow.
that was really impactful on a 17-year-old. However, I still went off to college, and, you know, I thought that was really amazing because the young lady who came in right before me and visited with her was a young lady who was barely making it through school, but she was Caucasian. And she told that young lady that she should be applying for Texas Christian University, University of Texas at Arlington, but she told me I should be in the custodial industry.
Wow.
So, you know, it's these people we put in front of our children. As parents, we have to monitor that. That's one of our responsibilities. You know, think about this. Education is a multi-billion dollar industry in this country. In 2013-14, the United States spent $634 billion.
Wow.
Would you allow, if you run a billion-dollar business, would you allow anyone to help that business? No, that's our children. We can't just allow anyone. We have to stand up and say, no, that teacher's not right. That teacher's not helping my child. This school system isn't working for our children. And we have a voice now. And unfortunately, so many schools believe that African-American parents only come up for football games or basketball games. They don't come to parent-teacher conferences. And we have to break that cycle. We have to get to that school and be seen on that campus all the time.
I totally agree. Larry, we need to get your book in the hands of folks. They need this book. How can they purchase this book?
They can find my book on Amazon.com. They can find it at BarnesandNoble.com. And they can find it at, you can find my book at www.createspace.com/7392738. But again, it's also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Now, do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Oh, yes, I do. You can go to Larry Davis. You can go to LarryDDavis.com and visit my website. I will be speaking at the Educating Children of Color Conference in January in Colorado Springs. I will be at the National Alliance of Black School Educators in New Orleans this November. And I will be speaking at the Texas Association of Black School Educators Conference in February. So all those are on my site. Come and visit. Leave me a note. I will gladly respond back to you. I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook.
And once again, the name of the book?
The Reeducation of the African-American Child in Today's School System. I say thank you to you.
You are so welcome. And I love talking to a positive person like you, Larry, who has so much knowledge and the knowledge that we need to get to impart into our youth for today. Thank you, Larry, for taking the time.
Anytime. Invite me back anytime, and I will gladly be a part of what you're doing.
I will definitely invite you back. Our guest, Larry Davis, inside of the Gospel Spotlight.